Today on Real Radio.
When someone's chewing on you or undermining you or backbiting you or whatever it is, and you have this love and you're wondering, why am I not more upset with them? That's God working in your life. He says they are selective with their company to the point of being exclusive, preaching one thing publicly but living something else privately.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, we're looking into a section in chapter 3 that lays out one of the visible qualifications of the true believer. That qualification, love for the brethren. Now, some say that of all the apostles, John understood love for fellow believers better than anybody. And therein lies the telltale attribute of the true follower of God the Son. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson called Proof of the Divine Birth.
Paul the Apostle tells us that the gifts and the callings of God are given without irrevocability, or some of your translations say without repentance, meaning God doesn't take it back. Now, I don't know what you've been taught, but some of you have come out of certain denominations that teach, well, if you're good this week, you're all right. But next week, if you slip up, you better pray God doesn't come back, or you don't die, because you'll burn in hell. That's not true. That's not true. This new nature, this seed, where we're at in this passage of Scripture, verse 9, implies that who John is speaking to has already been justified. Make no mistake about it. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is written to the believer, not non-believer. This is important. We have been justified by God. John chapter 6, listen, verse 44, John 6, 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me, and I will raise him up on that last day." Do you want Christ? You can't want Christ unless the Father put it in you to want him. Hey, I don't know about you, but that's good news. Do you want Jesus? Yeah, I want Jesus. You can't want him unless the Father put it in you first. Why do you think the Father would put it in you first? So that you would come. Rooted in God's justification. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29 to 30. This is great. Listen, for whom, are you listening? Listen, for whom he foreknew, that's past tense, by the way, God, for whom he foreknew, you need to ask the question, did he foreknow me? Listen, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, past tense, to be conformed. That is, by the way, past, currently, and ongoing. To the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, past tense, whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. All past tense. If you've experienced the divine birth, you know that God is working in your life to bring you to the end. But all along the way, you are his child, born from his seed, safe in his arms, or his papoose, or his quiver, wherever you want to put yourself, you're safe in him. He's at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have been justified, called, sanctified by the working of God. I've told you this before, but I'm going to say it again. The moment Billy Graham accepted Jesus Christ, if he would have died that moment so many years ago, he would have went straight to the throne room of God in heaven. But now he's at his old age. And what happens if Billy Graham dies tonight? Where's he going to go? Straight to the throne room of heaven. What has he had a chance to do in all these great years of global ministry? Glorify the name of Jesus Christ and grow in a practical sanctification that is between or before us. But he was just as saved the day he said yes to Jesus as he is right now. You don't get more saved as you go along. That's like saying, you know, if you believe in that, that's like saying you're kind of pregnant. No. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out abundantly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified now by his grace, past tense, justified. So much, you know, people have said, well, what happens if they find the Ark of the Covenant? Can we touch it? You could touch it. You could sit on it. You're not going to fry. There's no power there anymore. It's of the old system which God himself said goodbye to. And it's only a copy of that which is in heaven anyhow. So, you know, well, what about the Indiana Jones movie? That's just a movie. I think, just absolutely mind-boggling to consider the fact that inside us, and how do we put our finger on it? We can't. But inside us dwelling is the Holy Spirit, whom the veil of the temple once sheltered and kept from the view of people, the glory of God. That's just amazing. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Wow. This justification results in sanctification. Justification is when God says, and I know this is really simplistic, but it's cute and you'll remember it. Justification, how is that? What does it mean to me? It's as though God would turn to you right now and say to you, just if I'd never sinned. That's what you could say. Now, that's a very simple definition of that word, but it is accurate. Justification is when God says to the believer that cries out to him, Lord, save me. I put my trust in you. God says, you're justified. And you can turn back to your friend or to the angels and say, what he just declared to me and imputed to me. It's as though, just if I'd never sinned. If that's true, it results in sanctification. Sanctification in two ways: positionally, instantaneously with God the moment you believe, and then practically the rest of your life until the Lord calls us home. We are, as Hebrews tells us, we were sanctified and we are being sanctified. But you got to be saved first to be sanctified. Listen, some of you from some other groups or ways of thinking, you're going to have a hard time with that. You've been taught that if you try hard enough, the blood of Christ and your merits will make it all okay. No. Because you have been justified, you are now motoring on in your Christian growth in sanctification. That is, you're becoming more and more like Christ. Why? Because you've been justified. How'd that happen? Because he, in his foreknowledge, called me. And he set me free. Everything that happens from that moment on is just an outflow of God's work. And we rejoice in what he's done. It's liberating. That sanctification enables us to be regenerated, or as we're arguing tonight, recreated. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 tells us, therefore, we do not lose heart. Sure. We're not supposed to lose heart. But Paul, being the spiritual animal that he was, he says, because of this, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Renewed, recreated. Wow. 2 Peter 1:4, Peter says, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, past tense, everyone, it's past tense. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Christian can't stay in sin. He can't practice sin. because the seed of God remains in the Christian. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, past tense, having been born again, not of corruptible sperm, but incorruptible, is the word used in the Greek, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We've been born of God. Have you been born of God? We've been reintroduced. How so? What do you mean reintroduced? This way. Look at verse 10. In this, the children of God, now we are the children of God. Hallelujah. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested, revealed, unveiled. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. This word means a person who lives in sin does not practice righteousness. This same one is not of God. This same one is a child of the devil. You see how it gets down to two genealogies. Jesus speaks to the scribes and Pharisees, and they're attacking him. They're accusing him of being illegitimately born. We know who you are. You're Joseph's son, or you're the carpenter. And they're making an insinuation that he was illegitimately born. And Jesus says, "Well, I know who your father is." And they say, "Well, our father's Abraham." He says, "If you were from Abraham's seed, you would believe in me. You're not of Abraham's seed. I know who your dad is." Can you imagine? This is some negative church growth statement he makes here. He says, "You're of your father, the devil." That went over like a ton of Israeli stones. We have been reintroduced, who were once lost, now we're found, we're in Christ. We've been recreated in Him. Children of God, children of the devil, manifested, meaning you can tell the difference. What do you think John would say this? Some of you who are struggling with, can I know, what's the deal? Why is John saying this? Because you can know. These things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. Again, Zodiades in his commentary regarding verse 10, he says this, quote, clear, this is a title regarding this verse, he says, quote, clear external signs of who is and who isn't a child of God is made clear here. Wow. First of all, they do not practice righteousness. Second of all, they do not love the brethren. Yeah, and listen, you have to work at loving Christians. It doesn't mean, Jack, it's such a pie in the sky thing to say, just we love the brethren. You know, I know we have to, Paul says in Romans 12:18, I think it is, where as much as it is possible, live peaceable with all men. You know why he said that? Because sometimes it's almost impossible to live with brothers and sisters sometimes. That's why you've heard it said, well, you have to love me. And that's true. For Christ's sake, we have to love them. For Christ's sake, we have to love them. For Jesus, we have to love them. There's some people, even in the family of God, where it's best for you just to say hello. Don't say, how you doing? What does that mean? I'm just asking how you doing. What were you implying? Nothing. Forget, hey, you know what? Those are the people you say, hi, and keep going. You're going to heaven and everything can get fixed up there, I'm sure. But it's just one of those things. There's just not that relatability that's taking place. We don't mesh. It's just not working. There's no vibe there working. And it's best that you say, hello. Don't say, do you have anything I'm going to pray for? Oh, what is that supposed to mean? Just hi, as much as is possible. Now, we love the brethren. What's interesting, he stresses, Spiros Zoradis stresses this. He says, concerning these whom John is speaking of, he says, they're not those that are outside the church. There are those that may be in the church. This is scary. Who are of the devil? He says they are selective with their company to the point of being exclusive. In other words, they don't love the brethren openly. They're selective. I'm going to love him and her. Him and him and him and her and him. Listen, you know, that's the way we are. Listen, it's a prejudice, and Satan's prejudice. It's a segregation. Satan is a segregationist. Is that the right word? A segregist. He loves to segregate. This is evil. Selective. I'll only fellowship with those types. For why? For what reason? To get something. That's what the unrighteous do. The righteous doesn't matter, because Jesus loves, you love. So much is Jesus at work in your heart that you'll even love your enemy. That ain't of you and I, is it? That's not of us. When someone's chewing on you or undermining you or backbiting you or whatever it is, and you have this love and you're wondering, why am I not more upset with them? That's God working in your life. He says they are selective with their company to the point of being exclusive, preaching one thing publicly but living something else privately. Wow. He draws a comparison. There's the new nature, the new man, the spirit, God's seed revealed in Scripture. There's the old nature, the old man, the flesh, the corruptible seed. In Matthew 11:19, the Bible says, Jesus says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children, Jesus said. He was speaking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't come eating and he didn't come drinking. He was righteous. Jesus comes, who of course is righteousness, and Jesus comes and he is eating. Hey, let's eat. I'm hungry. Let's get something to drink. I'm thirsty. He says, you've accused me of being a wine drinker and a guy that just stuffs himself. I tell you something, wisdom is justified by her children. That little last part of that statement is fantastic. Wisdom is justified by her children. Look at someone's life and see the fruit flowing out of their life. And if God's wisdom is at work in their life, you can't bring any accusation. I mean, you can accuse them all you want. It's not going to stick. It's like Teflon. They just slide right off of them. Because they're just walking with the Lord. And the fruit that flows from their life, wisdom's justified by her fruit or by her children. Jesus is basically saying, I'm walking in wisdom. I am, in fact, wisdom. And the fruit or children or the seed that flows from me speaks for itself. Deal with that. I love it. He says here, I believe we have been born of God in that being reunited. He says, nor is he who does not love his brethren. That is not born of God, not of God. Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You want to be legalistic about the word of God? Try this on. You want to do the whole law? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He gives instruction. The Christian, friend, tonight, what I'm trying to stress is that the Christian, if he's experienced in this new life, and of course, we need to be careful in how we throw words around, this new life can only be experienced by the Christian. This new life will be marked by love. And I want to end right here. You can close your book. You can relax. I want to lay this out before you. You and I need to take inventory of our lives and ask ourselves, are we loving? Well, I'm a vice president of a huge corporation. So what does that do? Are you loving? Well, you know what? Excuse after, what is that? The Christian, John is saying, is marked, manifested by love. Do we express love differently? Of course we do. I think as different as our personalities are. But do we love? How do we show love? Looking around here, there's some of you, you show your love for the Lord and love for this church and love for these others that are around you. I know you show by doing. Greg shows by love, by cooking. He gets a joy, he gets a rush to, though he may not even know your name, when he's at these events cooking up a storm for you, he gets happy to see you eat. That's how my mom was. I knew my mom, man, when my mom loved somebody, she started cooking. I'm not kidding. When she loved you, if she loved you, you'd know it because she'd start cooking. And she was funny. She would always go in the kitchen and kind of spy on the people that were invited over to see. She's trying to read the response if they liked the food. And if they liked it, she was content, because they had accepted her offering of love that way. For all of us, it's just different. But do we love? Are we loving? Can the community, can our families, can our neighbors say, you know what? They love. And for men, maybe you know that's like this is something to be resisted. Watch out. Satan's playing with your head. Love is not weak. Love is an amazingly divine and tough thing. I don't mean tough in that expression. Tough in what it demands that you forgive your husband. Love demands that you forgive your wife. Love demands that you forgive your kids or your parents. The shirt says real men love Jesus. That's right. And real women love Jesus. And real youth love Jesus. What are we loving? You need to turn that right back on me. Don't you dare think. In fact, the odds go against me. Don't you dare think, well, you know, he's going to go to heaven because he teaches the Word of God. That's heresy. Well, he's going to go to heaven because he's there every Sunday. That's heresy. That's wrong. James says, you better watch your mouth, you guys who teach, because you're going to receive this more strict and demanding judgment in the day of Christ. Oh, boy. I know what I'm going to be saying, if anything at all. Lord, I didn't ask for this. Somehow I don't think I'm going to even be saying that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, it's a passage that lays out in plain language one of the visible attributes of the true believer, love for the brethren. The title, Proof of the Divine Birth. Proof of the Divine Birth is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember that if Real Radio is a part of your day, and we hope it is on a regular basis, help make Pastor Jack's day by letting him know. Visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on Radio Reaction. That'll take you to the page where you can type your message directly to Pastor Jack. You can also check out what others have written, like this one from a Real Radio listener. Fran says, I really have been blessed by Pastor Jack. I listen to and watch all of his services and radio shows. God bless you, Pastor Jack. Fran. And that's it. Doesn't take much. Just a word of encouragement for Pastor Jack, and I gotta tell you, we really like getting those. By the way, be sure to tell a friend about Real Radio. Again, realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.